Heidelberger Frühling Podcast. Heute mit
Marc-André Amelin.
Sie sind in Kanada geboren, in Montreal, also im französischen Teil von Kanada. Die meisten Pianisten erzählen, wenn man sie fragt, wie hat das angefangen, dass sie sehr früh mit Klavier begonnen haben. Sehr früh haben sie angefangen, Klavier zu spielen und ihr Interesse am Klavier entdeckt. Wie war das bei Ihnen?
Well, I really owe everything to my father because he was a very good amateur pianist. And he was really the one who is the reason I'm doing this. Because I think I watched him play when I was a very, very young child. And evidently I got interested. There was something that it sparked something. And around my fifth birthday, he started me with lessons. With piano lessons, and he didn't force me. You know, he asked me if I wanted it, and I said sure. It sounded like a good idea, so that's how it started. And of course, there was always music playing around the house. I remember him playing old recordings of Alfred Cortot, for example, who we particularly loved. That was a large part of my education.
Und Sie haben nie gesagt, oh, ich möchte was ganz anderes machen. Ich möchte Fußball spielen. Ich möchte wandern. Ich möchte mit Girls mich beschäftigen. Das Piano war immer im Mittelpunkt.
Well, I wasn't really interested in sports. I still am not interested in sports, really. Certainly not in a physical sense. And girls came later. But they did. Yes, I was playing with children in the neighborhood, of course. You know, that's essential. I was not chained to an instrument. My parents were very intent that I would practice enough, certainly, and practice well, but they also let me live, which I really appreciate.
Life is important for an artist, too.
Well, of course, because otherwise, what are you going to express through your playing? I mean, I've seen so many piano students in conservatories and music schools who spend their entire days in practice rooms. The poetic value of the four walls of a practice room is very, very, very limited. I think you'll agree.
Es ist ja eine seltsame Situation. Ein Einzelner, eine Persönlichkeit, ein Künstler kommt auf die Bühne. Unter ihm sind Hunderte von Zuschauern. Das Licht geht an auf ihn. Der Saal ist dunkel. Sie können niemand erkennen. Und sie müssen sich mit diesem schwarzen Tier beschäftigen, was da steht. Ist das jedes Mal eine neue Herausforderung, sich da hinzusetzen?
To me, the public is a friend. My reason for going on stage is to give them an offering, an Opfer. It is an occasion for sharing miracles. I'm basically not afraid of the public. I've never had stage fright, really. In the past, sometimes I might have been afraid of some critics in that I knew were in the hall. It might have affected my playing. I remember we had a nasty, nasty critic in Montreal in the French paper for 63 years. And he passed away a little more than a year ago. And he had retired, I think, 3 years before. So, but I got used to him, and things became better in Montreal. But he scared a lot of people, and he ended a lot of careers as well. But other than that, I am really, really quite comfortable, you know, because music is what matters, of course, and the joy of presenting it to the public, not only repertoire that they already know, but the repertoire that they are about to discover, that they never heard, and that they might like, you know, to me is just such a pleasure. It's a special thrill to me that listeners coming to one of my concerts in which I present lesser known works could expand their horizons after hearing a piece in my concert that they have never heard before, then we'll explore more works of that composer or more works of that type. And that, to me, is just everything.
Sie fühlen also eine gewisse Verantwortung auch, Musik weiterzuentwickeln und zu zeigen, Musik bleibt nicht stehen, Musik ist nicht nur Beethoven, es geht darüber hinaus.
I really think that there is a lot of music that one never hears, but which is really, really worthwhile and worth listening to. A lot of these things are not immortal, will never be immortal, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to them. I've done quite a bit as far as that goes. I mean, I'm up to my 81st CD recording, and a lot of these CDs feature pieces that not only are not in the standard repertoire, but many of them had not been recorded before, or sometimes even not played before. As soon as I felt the curiosity of doing this, I mean, it became almost a mission. You know, I still have a few years left, hopefully, and by the time I go, I would like to have made a little bit of a difference in the public's appreciation of these pieces. If that happens, I will be happy.
Gehen Sie auch in Bibliotheken, um Komponisten zu entdecken?
Sometimes I go to libraries, although that's a little bit seldom. I mostly find new things in Antiquariat, in Norden Antiquariat. There are very few of these places left around the world, and I think most of them are in Germany, and sometimes in the Netherlands as well. I also, over the years, have accumulated a very, very great collection of scores. I have something like 100 boxes of them. I wouldn't have enough of 20 lifetimes to explore everything in there. And, you know, I don't want to give the impression that a large part of this unknown music is good. I mean, a lot of it is really not very good. I mean, I don't think that the salon tradition of the 19th century will ever get a revival. Never say never, of course, but I really don't think so. Whereas there are certain periods in history which are definitely worth reviving. I think the virtuoso tradition of Liszt and Thalberg still has its place. I think the turn of the century in France and Germany is enormously interesting. I particularly enjoy it because that's when tonal harmony started to break up. I mean, it's something that really got started with Liszt and Wagner, you know, if you want to trace it back. And it's such a fascinating time in music history for me.
In painting, in literature.
Of course, but I have to talk about what I know best. Oh, yes, there was a definite dam break at that time in all the arts. And also the early 20th century and the futuristic period and the 20s and 30s. There's an astonishing amount of new creativity that one can see. So I'm like a child in a playground. I just explore. I am free to take whatever I want and see what comes out. It's, of course, tricky because you are never completely sure of the aesthetic worth of that particular repertoire, what it's going to be in the present time, how people are going to appreciate it. Fortunately, I was able to build up an audience over the years. I usually have a really good base to experiment on.
Und das Publikum, was sie kennt, sagt auch, wenn das spielt, wenn Amelin das spielt, dann muss es schon wert sein, zumindest gehört zu werden. Wahrscheinlich ist es eine gute Musik.
It's nice to develop that kind of trust, and it's nice to hear you say that, actually.
Sie haben gesagt, 81 CDs mittlerweile eingespielt. Ich habe gezählt, ich bin weit über 100 gekommen. Da waren noch andere Künstler dann mit. Ich nehme an, Sie haben jetzt nur die gezählt, wo Sie allein spielen.
Well, this number 81, that is my own CDs. I don't count the times where I am included in compilations, for example, with other artists.
Sometime you said, I love to record. Sie haben gesagt, ich liebe es, Aufnahmen für CDs zu machen. Warum?
As I've said before, it's the great feeling of being able to leave something, as opposed to a live performance, which of course can live, you know, very endearingly in people's memories. But the CD is a concrete result of my efforts, the best way I know to propagate the repertoire that I really believe in. But, you know, people often ask me, you know, what's the difference between, do you enjoy concerts and recordings? And I enjoy them equally well. And I bring the same degree of dedication to both of these activities. It's just that the presence of an audience somehow does something to me. It brings out even more.
Aber bei der Aufnahme im Studio, Sie können korrigieren. Die Atmosphäre ist vielleicht etwas entspannter als im Konzert.
Yes, but I enjoy making recordings as well, and in another way, you see. The joy of the process of being able to arrive at a product, at a result which will be musically, you know, just as enjoyable, hopefully, as a live performance. So I enjoy it in other ways, really, than a live performance.
Sie komponieren auch. wie groß ist der Anteil an Ihrer Arbeit überhaupt, was das Komponieren angeht? Ich denke, spielen ist sehr viel mehr komponieren, wenn Sie Zeit haben.
Performing will always be my main activity, but I do compose out of creative need. I mean, even from the very, very start, when I was 5 years old, my father had some music paper lying around and I'd start scribbling, you know, complete nonsense. But it's because I was looking at the scores he had, which were Liszt and Chopin, and the, you know, that's very impressive visually, you know. And of course, I wanted to do the same thing. I was always very curious. And it was only many years later that I started to produce things that anybody would even want to listen to. But the need was always there. I do it when I have time. Although it's been more interesting lately because I've, over the last few years, that's when I started to get commissions. Edition Peters right now is publishing whatever I send them.
Schubert hatte es nicht so gut, Franz Schubert. No. Der musste suchen, ob ein Verleger kommt und es druckt.
And some of his greatest masterpieces were never published until after he died.
Sie kommen nach Heidelberg zum Festival und haben drei Auftritte und noch ein Gespräch. Das Gespräch geht sicher über Musik. Das erste, eine Matinee, da geht es nur um Vögel. Ein sehr witziges Programm, glaube ich, sehr interessantes Programm, vielleicht auch ein sehr lehrreiches Programm, wie Komponisten verschiedene Arten von Vögeln darstellen.
Well, the theme was not so much birds as it was flight. And that was suggested to me. It's not something that I would have thought myself, but I thought it would be interesting to explore, and a whole program about flight should be mostly about birds. But I do end it with a piece by Leo Ornstein called Suicide in an Airplane. It's not going to send people home whistling the tunes because it's only 3.5 minutes, but it's an extremely tense piece that rises to an unbelievable climax and then just recedes. And so the whole concert will end with a soft sort of dunkles tremolo.
Das ist, wenn das Flugzeug abgestürzt ist, da bleibt ja auch nicht mehr viel an Geräuschen dann, wenn es mal da liegt.
Yeah, I'm not sure quite what Ornstein's idea was, but he was inspired by a newspaper article which described, you know, a suicide in an airplane. But the piece itself is not a description of what happened, it's more a conveyance of the feeling.
Ich möchte noch ergänzen, ich habe vergessen, die Matinee lässt hören Musik vom Barock, von der Barockzeit, französisches Barock, bis eben zu dem Flugzeugabsturz.
Well, I think it's very interesting to consider all approaches. You know, I haven't experienced this whole program yet myself as a player and a listener. I thought the idea of the program was really fascinating, and I think I would like to think that even though the repertoire is very diverse within this short recital, that there might still be some kind of unity felt, a unity of thought. Even though the languages, number of languages used, you know, is bewildering, you know, very, very, very diverse.
Die anderen beiden Konzerte enthalten, das geht, glaube ich, 2020 gar nicht anders, Beethoven. Das Geistertrio spielen sie. Sie spielen die Mondscheinsonate. Ich glaube, Waldstein spielen sie dann in dem anderen Konzert.
I think it's the Pastoral.
Pastoral, ja? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Die Frage ist, überall wird von Beethoven geredet. Kann man das auch überdosieren, zu viel Beethoven machen? Oder verdient er es, so oft gespielt zu werden, wie es nur geht?
Well, it depends who you talk to, really, because some people will say that you cannot ever have enough Beethoven. Yeah. But I believe that it doesn't matter who the composer is, there is a possibility of saturation. I mean, that happened with the Mozart year in 91, you know, and people were sick of Mozart. A lot of people were sick of Mozart. But on the other hand, you know, what a composer to celebrate.
Können Sie sich noch erinnern, Ihr erster öffentlicher Auftritt in einer Konzerthalle. War das mit Orchester? War das ein Recital? So was vergisst man eigentlich nicht.
No, I remember. I remember very well. I was 14. I mean, my first appearance in public was a competition, and I was 9 years old. It was a local competition. And even then, I remember just going to the piano and playing and, you know, no, not afraid of the public. I mean, it was a small room, maybe 40, 50 people there. But my first actual public recital was in a small town in the province of Quebec, and it was the second half of a concert. I was by myself, but the first half had been a little orchestra of violins, and the players were from 5 years old to 16 years old. So imagine the sound. But I was playing by myself in the second half.
Zum Schluss, wenn Sie nicht Klavier spielen, wenn Sie nicht komponieren, was machen Sie dann eigentlich?
I live.
Das ist eigentlich genug. Aber wie leben Sie?
Yes. I mean, I don't have any particular hobbies. I just like to enjoy life. I mean, maybe a good book, a good movie, a conversation with friends, a good meal. I mean, it's very, very simple. I don't really collect anything except music and recordings. I'm a big record collector as well. When I go to a new town, you know, yes, it's possible to go to museums, and I go from time to time, but mostly I head for the shops. I head for the music shops. Simple, but it's gratifying for me.